Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Arise and Shine Global Ministries. My name is Daryl Hikes and I'll be your host for the next 29 minutes and 45 seconds. So let's pray and get right into the program. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity of being able to minister your word. I truly appreciate you trusting me and allowing me to just share your word with people. I thank you that as people listen, that they get an understanding of your word, of who you are, how you operate, your spirit, your son, my brother, Jesus. And so I just want to say I appreciate that. And everything that I say and do, I thank you that it benefits the people listening. I thank you that you speak through my vocal cords, that you think through my mind, that it's all of you, none of me. And you get the applause and the cheering and the results that you desire from your word going forth. And so for that, I give you thanks. And I just appreciate the people listening. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So today, Sunday, September the 29th, we've got 2 days left in this month. It is a year 2019. I am so excited about today's program. And you know, when I say excited, I guess I should be running around doing cartwheels or something like that. But, you know, everybody has a different excitement level. There's a minister who is, to me, it's kind of funny. His name is Andrew Womack. And his excitement level is very different than most people. You know, he just kind of talks at a very monotone and just says what he says, and you know, he might crack a smile every, well, he might smile. I'm working on words that I say, so when I say crack, I don't want his smile to crack, so I don't want to say things that are so, but you know, he might smile, and you can really, it's quick, and then he's back to what he's doing. So but I am truly excited about today's program, and I just want to say thank you for tuning in. I don't take ministry of God's word lightly. You know, God woke me up this morning, you know, and he started me on my way, and you know, I get all that. But he literally woke me up this morning and said, well, he put it in my heart last night to do another show, and another thing to do is to be consistent with doing shows, consistent with these programs, because that's very, very, very important. Because you know, there are lives on the line. There are people out there who need to hear the gospel. There are people who need a word of encouragement. There are people who need to know God loves them. There are people who need to know the word of God is actually true. There are people who need to know that Jesus died for them. There are people that need to know God has a great, abundant, supernatural life that he wants them to live. You know, I experienced the goodness of God just this morning. I get up and, you know, I'm just kind of, all right, I'm up. So let me go ahead and get started because, you know, I'll go to church and kind of like, and please take this the way that I intend for it to be, which is just a revelation, an understanding of some things. I got on Sundays, I'm accustomed to going to a fellowship with the people at World Changers Church International, whether it's the location in College Park or whether it's the location in Marietta. So, or wherever I may be, you know, I have an awesome, super cool job to where I get to travel all over the country during the week. And then on weekends, I got my basketball player, my teams that tournaments and training and just all kind of stuff. So I literally discovered the will of God for my life. I literally discovered it. And it is so cool because I get to travel. You know, I was in Iowa 2 weeks ago, twice. And then I've been through Arkansas. I've been Missouri, you know, and then I'm going to probably California this week. And then I may be up in Washington, Oregon. And then on the weekends, I come back here, my guys play. So, I mean, it's just pretty cool. But back to what I was originally saying. I got up this morning, and I said, okay, I haven't done a Blog Talk Radio program in a little bit of time. So I just decided, okay, let me start. I had someone give me a bless me with. Well, okay, let me, let's, okay. Blessed, the word blessed means empowered to prosper. So when you speak a blessing over someone, what you are saying is, I'm using my words to join with you to where you now prosper, and prosperity, it's the ability to excel, to move forward. You know, some people are stuck in careers they've been in for 50 years. Well, it's time to move forward. Now, does that mean that the 40 years you were there is a bad thing? Or you might stay another 40 years after that. That's between you and God. But I do know this. It's God's desire that you have the freedom to set your schedule, that you actually, you have the freedom to live his schedule. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I appreciate that. What happens is, okay, God talks to me and I talk to him. So he can interject and he can talk and he can tell me what to say because it's his show. My life belongs to him. I'm going to live for him. I like it. It's fun. He takes care of me because he loves me and he has a plan for my life. So I get up this morning and I had someone give me a laptop, you know, and so I'm pretty inept in doing stuff when it comes to information technology. You know, I can, you know, I understand about updates and, you know, uninstalling and different software and web browsers and just all that stuff. My family has a audio video IT type background. So, you know, and I didn't go to school for it. It's just something that I actually like. It's a part of the calling of my life because God gives gifts. He gives gifts to people. He gives talents to people. There are some people out there that can bake a cake from straight scratch, never look at a cookbook. And that cake, you would think, my God, they need to be selling this in a store. Okay, well, there are people, you know, there are all kinds of gifts and talents. So I get up and I'm just kind of messing around with the laptop and I'm thinking, okay, I need to start getting ready for church because, you know, I'm real big on being on time and, you know, you want to be there for certain things. And, you know, I just don't like being late. I feel like when you're late, you start out behind as it is, and then you got to try to catch up. And then if something happens or something takes place, now you got to account for that. So my thing is just go ahead and get up. You know, I was awakened. So I get up and then, you know, I'm just kind of messing around with the laptop. And I noticed that my web browser won't allow me to connect with Blog Talk Radio, the program. The internet service that you are currently, well, not internet service, but the application that's used to get this broadcast out to people. Well, I couldn't connect to it, so I'm sitting there thinking, okay, this ain't gonna work because I know I'm supposed to do an episode today, but I can't get on I can't connect to where I can create the show. So I'm just kind of like, all right, I got a choice here. I can quit and just say, ah, it wasn't meant to be, or I can move forward and figure out what the problem is. So I'm sitting here, and I'm just messing around and just kind of, all right, let me just, you know, I cleaned up some stuff on the laptop, and I did some other stuff, and then I ran across Google Chrome, and I said, I'm using Internet Explorer, which works, you know, Internet, you know, I don't want to compare and belittle anybody, anything like that. But then it asked me, do you want to download Google Chrome? So I downloaded Chrome. It took, you know, it didn't take that long. I thought it was going to take longer because I'm using a hotspot and everything, but I thought it was going to take longer. And then it went ahead and downloaded, and I went ahead and set it up, and I synced and connected and just did all this stuff. And then I went to the Blog Talk Radio website, logged in, set up an episode, and then actually once it started connecting, I realized that was all that it took. It took me not quitting, And then it took me to just walking through the process, even though I was met with opposition. You know, I know we're going to talk about the garden here in a minute, but I really feel like somebody needs to hear, keep going. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't cave in. Don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Your whatever it is you're believing for or your breakthrough, it may be right around the corner. Did you know Joseph in the Bible? He was a slave, and he was literally, and I mean, I think he had went through it was a 13-year period because he was 17 when he went down to Egypt, and then he was 30 when he came into interpreting Pharaoh's dream. So that's 13 years. Now, what if during that time frame he had to quit? I've been in training for, and I'll always be in training. It's just there are times where you're, okay, it's time to go do what you've been trained to do. For what, 16, I moved to Atlanta in 2003. You know, God told me, okay, it's time for you to move out there, because I got born again in 97, and I was 5 years with the ministry, and then God was like, okay, leave your job. Now, you better know it's God telling you to leave your job, and you better have something. If God tells you to do something, that means he's already made arrangements for wherever you're going, whatever you do, to work out. And there may be some opposition, there may be some challenges, but just remember this: for every problem, there's a solution. Because if it wasn't, it wouldn't be a problem if there was no solution. Just remember that: for every problem, there's a solution. Just like for every in, there's an out. For every no, there's a yes. For every up, there's a down. It just, you know, that, so every coin has two sides. Just remember that. So if you're met with a problem or a challenge, just remember, every problem has a solution. Every challenge has a way to get the victory. So I left Tucson, Arizona. Yeah, 2000 and actually it was 2002. I left, and then I went to I did some speaking ministry for about a good year. All I did was travel and preach. That was all I did. I just traveled around the country. Well, actually, it was mainly in my northeast Mississippi, because I'm from. I was born in Mississippi. I spent most of my adult life in Arizona, but so in 2002 to 2003, I simply traveled and preached. I would get invited to small churches. I remember I went to this one church. There were two people there. There was the pastor, and I think it was her mom. I think that was it. But she invited me to go. I asked God, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to go. And I ministered the word as if there were 900 million people in that room. Why? Because it's the word. It's not about me. It's when the word goes forth. And when I finished up, I don't care if a person is a pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher, apostle, I'm going to ask, is there anybody in here that needs to get born again? Because that's the calling on my life. I talk about salvation. I talk about, okay, let's get you born again first, and then we can figure all that other stuff out later. Because my goal is to keep as many people out of hell as I possibly can. That's the goal. Well, I don't believe there's a hell. Well, you know, you have a right to believe whatever you want to. However, I just wouldn't want to find out there is a hell in hell, because at that point, then you're going to find out you can't get out, and you don't want that. How do you know you've never been to hell? Huh? I wouldn't be so quick to say that, because Jesus said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I'll do it. So one night I asked the Lord, I said, hey, I want to see what heaven is like. And I went to heaven and I saw what heaven is like. And it's you try to describe it in human terms, but it far exceeds anything that your mind could grasp. How you go to heaven and then, well, what you mean? Well, see, I understand I am a spirit. I possess a soul and I live in a physical body. That's why I can have a conversation inside of my body, my soul. I can have a conversation and you never hear it. Just like when you're standing there in front of the ice cream and you are trying to decide what you want as far as what flavor. So then your flesh, your body says, hey, we want chocolate because we like chocolate. But then you might actually, the spirit that's in the body might actually say, I think I want vanilla. Well, no, I want chocolate. No, I'm getting vanilla. You're going back and forth, but you're not, who are you talking to? You are talking to your body because your body makes demands, just like your body tells you, hey, we need to use the bathroom. What do you say? No, we're not using the bathroom right now. Nope, you can't use the bathroom. What? No, you're going to go to the bathroom or you're going to find somewhere to go to the bathroom. But it's not like you stood there and said, I got to go to the bathroom. Your body told you some stuff. And Paul talked about that, how the body, how the spirit and the flesh, they war against each other. There's a constant war. Because some things got in the garden. Oh, well, that is an excellent segue into talking about what happened in the garden. So here's the deal. If you have your Bibles, if not, I got you. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And then, you know, send me an email or something if, you know, you want to hear the rest of what I was talking about. Because, you know, I'm a talker. I like talking. I like talking about the Word because I know what the Word has done for me. I know how it's affected my life. I understand all that. So go to Genesis chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified because it amplifies what's being said in the King James Version. So I like that. Genesis chapter 2, I'm going to start with verse 7. It says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or spirit of life, and man became a living soul. So it's pretty clear right there. Who caused man to be alive? God. That's what the Bible says. Now, you can refute and argue with the Bible. That is your choice. I choose to believe what the Bible says. So my life comes from God. Okay. Now, verse 8 says, and the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, which means delight. And there he put the man whom he had formed, framed, constituted. Okay, so God creates a man, puts him in the garden. Now, understand something. When he created man, on the inside of man, that seed is mankind. And, you know, we're going to read on to where we find out he takes a rib out of the man and he forms a woman, a woman, a man with a womb. That's where you get the term woman from. And then Adam said, when Eve was presented to him, he was like, whoa, man, because he had never seen every word is a thing. The female, we don't want to call her a thing, just like we shouldn't call her a female dog, just like we shouldn't call her, a whore. We shouldn't refer to, we got to work on how we talk to people, how we talk about people. You know, you don't know what people go through. You don't know why people do what they do. I was listening to a song where the young lady said that her child was at home on the floor with nothing to eat. So she went out and exchanged bodily favors for money so that she could go home and feed her child. Now, it's easy for me to stand back and try to judge her for that because, and this is just a song, and it happens, though. I mean, I know it happens. But it's easy for me to judge this woman because I've never been in that situation. Or my faith level may be to where I can believe God and then, you know, it shows up without me having to do that. But we are responsible for loving people right where they are versus judging them for where they are. Because there's nobody on this planet who hasn't made a bad decision, a regretful decision, a decision that was like, I probably shouldn't have done that. That's why the Bible says all have sinned. But then it goes on to say that Jesus took care of all sin. So when people sin, and another word for another way to put sin is miss the mark or operate in disobedience to where. And we've taken this word disobedience and we've kind of made it like, you know, like a child, you disobeyed me, you know. For you married couples and for you, you know, in those people in relationships, don't use words that I don't think you use words like, you know, like a husband to a wife. Well, you disobeyed me, you know. First of all, you're not the parent, number one. And number two, you shouldn't be using words like disobedience to another adult or even, but you have to give an understanding of what it means to, because sometimes people don't, they don't do what they're supposed to do because maybe they didn't know, maybe they don't know how to do it, because if the instructions were not properly conveyed and there was an understanding that was, that took place to where, okay, I need you to clean your room every day before you go to school. Those are the instructions. I need your room clean before you get ready to go to school. So then you need to set up a system or a process or help them with the process. Instead of just walking in the room, you need to clean this room up. Okay, go in there with them. Walk through the process. Develop that relationship. That's a great opportunity to spend some time together with your children or your adult children, whoever it may be. Get in there with them. Yeah, get in there with them. So Genesis, okay, so God creates a man, and within the man is all of mankind, and then he's going to take a rib out, and he's going to create a woman. So all this stuff about, you know, I got a spare piece and a side piece and all that kind of stuff, just stop. Just stop. If you're out there and you're jumping from woman to woman, or you got three and four women, or you women out there, you got three and four men, and you know, you got all these relationships going on, I highly recommend just stop. Focus on that one relationship, because you want someone to focus solely on you. And at the end of the day, God loves you, and he wants more for you than that kind of life. He wants more for you than that. I think Solomon had 1,000 wives. Okay, you got to learn how to handle one wife. You don't even have enough time. You, right? Honestly, some of y'all don't have enough time in a day for that one relationship, whether it's a fiance, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, you know, whatever. Just know this. God makes time specifically for you, but then you have to learn how to engage in that time. It's very important. Wow, we got about 6 minutes left, and I've only read one scripture. But you know what? I truly know that someone out there needed to hear this. So let's go ahead and get into some more word quickly. So we did Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 8. Oh, here's a good one. Okay. Okay, this is good. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. So this is interesting. So all the animals, all the birds, all the fish, everything Adam named. He named them. So what happened was God will walk with. You got to understand something. Adam is a God. Huh? Adam's a man. What do you mean a God? Well, he's made, the Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says that let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And God, we said, well, no. Verse 26, let's see. Yeah, it does. God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I'm reading out of the Amplified, make mankind in our image after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beast, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. Now, there's something interesting that's said in here, and then I'm gonna just kind of bring this out, and then we're gonna pray, and then we're gonna give you an opportunity to get born again, and then I'm gonna go get ready for church. Okay, go get ready to fellowship with those of like precious faith. I like that. So it says here, it says, let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all the earth. And wait a minute, if they have authority over, complete authority over all the earth, wouldn't that include everything? But then it says, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. This last sentence or statement, and over everything that creeps upon the earth, that is a direct reference to Lucifer. Because what happened is Lucifer showed up in the garden, and we're going to talk about more, we're going to get more in depth with that next week, or probably maybe a couple of days, it just depends. But this is a direct reference to when Lucifer got in the garden and tricked Eve into eating the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then Eve gave to her husband, who was standing right there with her. People got this idea like Adam wasn't there. He was standing right there. And she said, hey, babe, why don't you take some of this fruit? I ate some and nothing happened. So go ahead. And he ate it. And then now we got a problem. Now we got a serious problem that God is going to fix. But God gave Adam and Eve complete authority over Lucifer, who's a fallen angel. We call him the devil, Satan, dragon, serpent, whatever you want to call him, Beelzebub. God gave Adam and Eve complete authority over him in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So they could have said, no, we're not eating from that tree because God commanded us not to eat the tree. And I know we'll probably have to go through and find the exact verse because I want to show you that it's in the Bible. That's very, very, very important. Very, very, very important. So here's the deal. God, Adam and Eve messed up in the garden. Okay, we know that. And I'm not holding that against them. Okay, it happened. All of us have made mistakes, you know, but God doesn't dwell on it. He throws it in the sea of forgiveness once you repent of it. And that means to change your mind. It means to change your direction. It means to change your focus. It means to change your affection, your attention. So it's not just a matter of, well, I'm sorry. Well, there's more to it. Sorry comes from the word sorrow, which simply means to feel bad, or to feel in a negative way, or to feel pressure and condemnation and guilt. That's all that means. That's it. So here's the deal. God wants you to come back in the family because we separated from the family through Adam, through what Adam and Eve did in the garden. But God wants you back in the family. So what God says is all you have to do is believe that Jesus died for what Adam and Eve did, and so now you can become back, you can come back into the family because Jesus fixed everything, and all you have to do is believe it. Now, the Bible also says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So I want you to repeat after me if you want to do that. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus Christ died for me and for my sins that were committed through Adam. Today, I confess Jesus as Lord of my life, and I believe that he took the authority from Lucifer back when he went to hell. And when he rose, he gave me the authority. So today, I accept my place back into the family of God. I'm saved. I don't have to go to hell. I get to go to heaven. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Hey, welcome to the family. Go out and celebrate. We'll see you soon. Actually, we'll talk soon.